The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away, but because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and beyond, bringing you the facts on all the important stories. I'm Desiree DiOrio. Thank you for making WSHU your source for trusted news. Your contributions keep public radio strong. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. What to do with trash still remains a big issue in Connecticut. New York labor unions want to change pension benefits. Will you be watching the Oscars this weekend? We have a deep dive on a nominated film that's sparked some conversation, plus the latest from WSHU's Birdsong Break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut climate activists and lawmakers want to modernize the way the state deals with its trash. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the issue is a big one for the state.
Connecticut sends millions of tons of trash to other states, and it's expensive. More than 40% of the state's waste is shipped to places like Pennsylvania and Ohio. A bill lawmakers are considering would phase out the use of styrofoam containers and force large food waste generators to separate food scraps for compost. It would also direct restaurants to only give single-use utensils to customers if they ask. It's sponsored by State Representative Andre Bumgardner.
It is absolutely time that we really start looking at these issues, because our tipping fees are going up, the cost of managing our trash is going up, and if we reduce the amount we're putting into the system and reprioritizing how we manage that organic waste, our municipalities are going to see savings.
Connecticut has four trash incinerators. The largest one is in Bridgeport. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Major labor unions are pushing New York State to change pension benefits. They say it's a matter of equity, but it comes with a cost. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vielkind reports.
Hundreds of public employees are rallying for better pensions. Their target is Tier 6. That's a law that means government workers who were hired after 2012 need to work until age 63 to receive full benefits. But people hired before then can retire at 55. New York State United Teachers President Melinda Person says that disparity makes it harder to keep and retain public employees.
We have members that are working longer, they are paying more into the system, and when they retire, they're going to get less. And it's just not fair.
Tier 6 came about on the heels of the Great Recession. Towns, cities, school districts, and the state government were all facing a budget squeeze. Rising pension costs were a big part of that, because governments have to pay more when pension fund investments do poorly. Assemblymember Michael Fitzpatrick is a Republican from Suffolk County. He says the stock market has been strong recently, but that won't last forever.
You want to be very careful with that, because if you do have a shock to the market or a period of recession or underperformance, you know, you're only going to sock the taxpayers even more.
The unions don't have a concrete proposal, but they are hoping to lower the retirement age and require workers to contribute less toward their pensions. There's no formal cost analysis, but Fitzpatrick estimates it will be billions of dollars. Other lawmakers, including both Republicans and Democrats, are on board with making changes. Governor Hochul says she's open to taking action as part of the state budget. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Immigrant rights activists say it can be difficult for people to remember what to do when an immigration raid happens. As Eddie Martinez reports, a new billboard off I-95 in New Haven aims to help.
Laura Cassenti stood under the billboard in mid-March. She says getting the word out on what to do during an immigration raid shouldn't be complicated.
When you're in an emergency situation, ICE is pounding at your door, you're not going to have a lot of recall. But if you have some simple phrases that you can memorize, you could get it through your head.
The billboard has three panels which state in Spanish and English, stay silent, don't sign, and ask for a lawyer. Cassenti is part of a network of immigrant rights advocates across Connecticut and other parts of New England. She says people are noticing the billboard.
People saw it and were asking questions about where it came from and were interested.
The billboard was originally part of an anti-Avelo Airlines deportation flight campaign, but immigration rights advocates decided to use it to retool their message after Avelo announced it would no longer charter deportation flights. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
With the Oscars coming up this Sunday, the familiar debate returns. Was the book better than the movie? That's coming up.
On your commute, on your walk, on your couch. With the WSHU app, you can stream your favorite shows, check playlists, and catch up on podcasts anytime. Plus, you can send us feedback right in the app. Tell us what you love or what you'd like more of. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim wants to put $10 million toward the city's schools over the next 2 years. The district has faced multiple financial catastrophes in the last few years and has had to eliminate its libraries and scale down busing amid other cuts. A West Islip neurosurgeon has been fined more than $20,000 after he lied about vaccinating his 4-year-old son. The New York Health Department says the man registered his practice with the state's electronic immunization system so he could make a fake record and help his unvaccinated son get into preschool. A Bristol lawmaker wants the state of Connecticut to allocate $300,000 to study unidentified aerial phenomena, sometimes known as UFOs. Under his plan, the University of Connecticut would lead the work with various state agencies. Advocates say a wave of unexplained possible drone sightings in 2024 showed the need for that work. A new commissioner is stepping in at the Connecticut Department of Corrections. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports it comes as the state's prison system has been facing criticism for a variety of issues, including inmates' deaths.
Sharonda Carlos will take over as interim commissioner on May 1st when sitting commissioner Angel Quiros retires. It's a temporary position until Governor Ned Lamont can make an official appointment. Quiros retired after a report from the state's prison ombudsman showed bad conditions like mold and broken equipment, as well as frequent unnecessary lockdowns. In February, three inmates died in less than a week. A few weeks later, an investigator general's report blamed a state contractor for a similar spate of deaths in 2024. Lamont says Carlos is well known in the department and can hit the ground running. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
With the Oscars this Sunday, the familiar debate returns. Was the book better than the movie? One English professor says this year's adaptation of Hamnet turned that question on its head and changed how she reads the novel that inspired it.
As an English professor, I'm supposed to be firmly in the book was better camp. And usually I am. I even preferred Thomas Keneally's Schindler's List to Spielberg's Oscar-winning film. But this award season, Hamnet has me packing away my Book Was Better t-shirt. I loved Maggie O'Farrell's novel when it came out. As a Shakespeare scholar, I appreciated how she brought his wife, Anne Hathaway, called Agnes in the book, to life. Her prose was breathtaking. But I couldn't connect with her Will Shakespeare. He was unnamed, distant, and humorless. For a guy who wrote so much comedy, this felt wrong. I couldn't recognize him. Then Paul Mescal played him on screen. His wry smile, easy laugh, those knowing glances. Suddenly, Shakespeare had the charm I'd been missing. When I reread the book after seeing the film, with Jesse Buckley's fierce Agnes now in my imagination, O'Farrell's gorgeous writing came alive in new ways. In the novel, Agnes, aching with the loss of her son, Hamnet, travels to London to see her husband's meditation on grief, Hamlet. On the last page, O'Farrell describes Agnes watching her husband as the ghost of Hamlet and seeing her own dead son reflected in the actor playing Hamlet. She stretches out a hand as if to acknowledge them, as if to feel the air between the three of them, as if wishing to pierce the boundary between audience and players, between real life and play. In the film, the audience standing at the edge of the Globe stage reaches forward with Agnes to touch Hamlet as he dies. All those hands grasping forward in shared grief, the broken faces of the older women on either side of Agnes, they aren't in the novel. But now, those indelible, haunting images live in my mind as I read O'Farrell's words, the movie made the book better. Or it might be more that the magical mixture of book and performance inspires the imagination. I realized maybe I've always loved The Great Gatsby because Robert Redford was already Jay Gatsby in my mind. Maybe Wuthering Heights worked for me because Laurence Olivier and Merle Oberon were already Heathcliff and Kathy. With a new Wuthering Heights in theaters now, will Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi replace those images for me? This conversation between storytelling forms is nothing new. Nearly 50% of Best Picture Oscar winners from 1927 to last year came from novels, short stories, or plays. From Mario Puzo's The Godfather to J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings to William Shakespeare's own Hamlet in 1948. This year, half the nominated films are book adaptations. Hamnet, Frankenstein, Train Dreams, Bugonia, and One Battle After Another. We endlessly debate whether the book or the movie was better. But what about when the chemistry is just right, when the movie and the book illuminate each other and together become something richer than either alone? I am casting my vote this year for Hamnet to win Best Picture, and rather than the book was better, my t-shirt should read, "The movie made the book better." But you probably won't catch me wearing it around the English department.
Emily Bryan is a professor of English at Sacred Heart University. This is WSHU's Bird Song Break. This week, an icon of the Long Island Sound region and returning here very soon, it's the osprey. These fish hunters were practically non-existent here just a few decades ago thanks to pesticides in the water supply. Conservation efforts like man-made nesting platforms have helped their population to soar. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break, featuring the osprey. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. Join me tomorrow on WSHU for the After All Things weekly recap show. It's at 6 p.m. after All Things Considered. And again, that's on WSHU. Thank you so much to Molly Ingram for filling in for me this week. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk tomorrow on the radio and Monday on the podcast.